We believe that light and darkness, truth and deception, right and wrong, make our lives sound simplistic. We believe there are times we fail to see our sin and times we fail to see our goodness. There are times we claim closeness to God while distant from our neighbour. And times we claim distance from God until our neighbours come close. There are times we survive on half-truths and walk in half-lights and make half-hearted efforts and we are not condemned. There are times we deceive ourselves, yet even then the darkness will not overcome us. The truth will not abandon us. What is the light in us? What is the darkness? We do not live on a pendulum, glory to gloom, glory to gloom. We believe that light and darkness, truth and lies, right and wrong is simplistic. And yet, more light, less darkness. More truth, less deception. More right, less wrong is a fair summary of our desire. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all here. This good weather just seems to continue on, doesn't it? We're being truly, truly spoiled. A welcome to anyone who's visiting with us today, and also to those who are listening either online or on the CD that gets delivered. I hope you enjoy your time with us as well. Lots of intimations in the order of service, just maybe to highlight one or two things and then to chat about a couple of other things. Next Sunday, there's no service here in church. It's our Praise in the Park service up at Hazelhead Park. And it's at 11 o'clock. Is that right? Or is it 12 o'clock? Yeah, 11 o'clock at Hazelhead. And if you want to come and need a lift, there are some sign-up sheets scattered around on pedestals and on tables and through in the hall. Please sign up to say that you need a lift. If you're able to offer a lift, also put your name down. That'd be very helpful. And I think the idea is that if you are offering a lift, you need to be here at 10 o'clock to pick up your passengers to take them up to the park. It would be really lovely to see a good turnout, and hopefully we'll get weather like we're having. It would just be great if we had a super day like today. And bring a picnic. Bring a blanket, a chair if you've got one, and bring yourselves. So that's Praise in the Park next Sunday. The following weekend is our weekend of invitation, and we have a number of events. If you were here last week, you received two of these inside your orders of service. I think some of you got one this morning as well that gives you a timetable of everything that's planned for the weekend of invitation. And the idea is that you take this and you invite someone to come with you to one of the events. So please take an invitation away with you. On the Sunday morning, we're having an all-age songs of praise. And Jam, they've been working hard raising money to twin the toilets here at the church with toilets elsewhere in the world. Isn't that right, Andrew? Yes. And to supplement that, they're having a bake sale after church on the 17th. So if you please take a few extra pennies with you, and there'll be some home bakes for sale through in the hall after the service on the 17th. So I'll leave you to read everything else that's there. The important things to remember are next Sunday, we're up at Hazelhead Park. Bring your picnic, bring yourselves, and then the weekend of invitation. Please consider what you might want to come along to and who you might invite to join you at any of the events that are taking place. We're here this morning to worship God. God is light, and in God we find no darkness at all. Lead us from dark paths that we might walk in your light, O God. God is light, and in God we find perfect fellowship. Heal us and restore us, clean us and reshape us, O God. God is light, and in God we find perfect love. May we worship God and know his presence. Let us worship God by standing to sing hymn number 465, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
Please join me as we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Mysterious God, we do not claim to understand you or know you fully, and yet you reveal yourself to us in so many ways. From the sun shining in the sky, to the delicate bloom of a flower, from the power of the waves on the shore, to the gentle purring of a cat on our lap. Everything we know and see comes from you and reveals your love for us. It is right in front of us, in plain sight, in the light of day. Lord, we do not know why sometimes we choose to ignore your signs and choose instead to grope around blindly in our darkness. We are sorry, Lord, we regret those times we choose to turn away from your light. Forgive us. Remind us that your love is never ending, that your forgiveness is a free gift. Help us to turn back to bask in the light of your love, to draw strength from it, and to then share your love with others. May we seek to be light bearers in this world that loves to choose darkness over light. And hear our voices now, Lord, as we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into debtors, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week, we thought a little bit about different kinds of letters that we might get, and I brought along some of the letters that I had received during the week. There was a bank statement, there was some junk mail, there was a postcard, different ways that we got letters. And that was because we've been thinking in church last Sunday, we're going to continue thinking today in church about a letter that was written by a man named John, or attributed to a man named John, and it was his first letter, and he was writing to people who were gathering like us as a faithful community, a bit like somebody writing a letter to the church. And I'm thinking about how he might have written his letter, because he wouldn't have typed it on a typewriter, would he? Do you think? Way back then, 2,000 years ago? No typewriters. Not even an iPad to... No. How do you think he might have written his letter? What do you think he might have written his letter on?
Ink and paper.
Paper?
Paper and ink.
Paper and ink.
With a quill.
With a quill? Hmm. So paper a little bit like this paper, maybe. A bit crinkly and a bit beige and brownie in colour. And it might be just rolled up like this as well, like in a wee scroll. Not folded and stuck in an envelope. No. Right, well, I've got exactly what you've described in my hand. We'll go open it and see what it says. Right. Okay. Oh, it's a letter. Funny that, eh? It says, "Dear friends, I write to you as one who knew Jesus and had met him. He had many things to tell us. But one of his important messages was that God loves us. He loves us so much and wants us to love Jesus. Jesus is the word of life. He was with us at the beginning of time, and he will be with us at the end of time. He is the one who brings us joy. God is our light, and he guides us through dark times and forgives us when we get things wrong. Yours in Christ, John." That's an interesting letter. There's a lot in that letter, actually. Lots of things to pick up on. But the thing I want to pick up on today is God being our light, and us being a people of light. And when we live in light, it makes us feel a little bit happy, doesn't it? You live, go outside on a nice sunny day, it makes you feel really good, doesn't it? Do you think so? Do you think you feel good on a nice sunny day? I do. I feel a lot better on a nice sunny day. But if it's a bit dark and gloomy, not so much fun, is it? No. We're all a bit like that. Nice sunny days. We like the nice sunny days, but the dark, gloomy days, not so keen on that. And the other bit of the letter that I like is this line here, and he forgives us when we get things wrong. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things about God, is that sometimes we do get things wrong and we can't help it. You just put your foot in it, you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing. But you know, as long as our hearts are in the right place, God's quite happy to forgive us for those things. And I think that's one of the most marvelous things about God's love for us, is that he is willing to forgive us when we get things wrong. I know that helps me out quite a bit when I feel I've done the wrong thing. Or sometimes it's not that you've done the wrong thing, you haven't done the right thing. And so it's important to remind ourselves every now and again that through God and Jesus, we are forgiven for the times we get things wrong or don't do the right things. So that's our message I want you to hang on to for today, and that goes for all of us. You'll hear a wee bit more about that later. Okay, we're going to sing a little wee song. We're going to sing it through twice. There's only two verses, so we'll sing it through twice. And it's 250 in your hymn book. Sent by the Lord am I. My hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. So we'll sing that through twice. 250.
Our reading today is taken from the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5 through to chapter 2, verses 2. God is light. Now the message that we have heard from his Son and announced is this. God is light, and there is no darkness at all in him. If then we say we have fellowship with him, yet at the same time live in the darkness, we align both in our words and in our actions. But if we live in the light, just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, Christ our Helper. I am writing this to you, my children, so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Christ himself is the means by which our sins are forgiven. And not our sins only, but also the sins of everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. We stand and sing again. This time our hymn is 230, Every New Morning, 213. Last week, we began our look at the first letter of John. We learned that although perhaps attributed to John, this may or not have been the gospel writer. Our reading last week were the opening verses, and we thought about how they were an invitation. This week, we delve into the letter and into the substance of it. One commentator suggests this letter is like a manual provided for the faithful followers to guide their lives and around which to formulate their faith community. If you like, it's a manual for us. It's not difficult to imagine how the first group of hearers would have gathered round while the letter was read, and then no doubt debated and discussed its contents. I rather think the letter writer will have mulled over what he wanted to say and how to say it. I knew I had to write to them, he might have said. Too many of these people with their crazy ideas about Jesus have been causing no end of confusion. They've gone now, at last. But it sounds like they've left a lot of upset in their wake. So I thought I'd have to go back over some basics. Love, obedience, relate to God, be helped by the Spirit, be like Jesus. Oh Lord, I hope I can keep them on the right track there. And our false teacher saying he wasn't for real, that his human body was just an illusion, a deceptive appearance. They can't get their heads round the fact that he was a real man, in flesh just like the rest of us. Now, why is that so hard to grasp? It's the empire's religion that gets in the way, believing that only the spiritual is good while everything physical is bad. That's what I'm up against. All these other influences. It's easy for me. I knew Jesus. I knew him. It's easy to forget that these dear people, my children in the faith, didn't experience him in the flesh firsthand, face to face. Well, I've tried to sort that one out again for a start. Yes, I knew I had to write to them, but there's so much I wanted to say to remind them, to make sure they got it clear and simple. I fear my hand is on ahead of my brain. I'm sure I've repeated myself, kept going back over what I'd already said, but if they can bear with me and know that I love them and bring their own thoughts around my thoughts, share their own words around my words, become stronger in what they know and trust because what I know and trust, and do what love demands as I try to do the same, then however distant we are from each other, we will not be far from each other in our hearts. So I've written to them, O Lord. I hope it does some good. I hope it does some good. And so he wrote the words we heard last week and the words we heard this morning. Today's reading begins with the assertion that what follows is a message that the letter writer heard direct from Jesus himself. This message is passed on with authority, a message that declares God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. The letter writer is trying to teach us and instruct us about God's love. We are to stay out of the darkness and faithfully follow the light, and make sure our lives are a living testimony to our faith. Darkness and light are great words to describe a life following Christ and a life, well, not. And light happens in many different ways. There's the slow rise of the sun in the morning. Gradually things go from darkness to light. Some days will be brighter than others. I kind of get that metaphor for my faith and the faith journey that some of you will also have made. A slow realization, a gradual growth over a period of time in our understanding of who God is and who this man Jesus Christ is and how they impact on our lives. The dawning of a new life knowing and loving Jesus. The dawning of coming to know God's love in our lives. Then there's the sudden brightness of a light switch. And there will be of people, maybe among us, who had that light switch moment, that light bulb moment when it's as if a light switch has been flicked and all becomes suddenly very clear and bright. Another metaphor for faith. It's not mine, but maybe it was your experience. Or maybe you're like one of those low energy bulbs that take a wee while to warm up to your full strength, a slow building of a warm glow. And then you reach your full glow. We're all different and we all have different faith journeys. You may well be still on yours. Maybe the light of Christ is just starting to burn in you. This last few weeks we've seen a lot of sunshine. And I know how much I prefer these sunny days to the short, dark winter ones. I definitely feel the lighter, longer love. Feel lighter in the longer summer days. I feel so much better. I have more energy. I'm much more upbeat, more relaxed. Life is better in the light than it is in the darkness. And now we come to a challenge in our reading. Living in light makes us visible. And if we claim to be people living in light, and what people see in us is a life lived in darkness, then we are being liars. That's what the text says. And we all know that one of the biggest criticisms thrown at people of all faiths is that we often fail to live up to the faith we claim. For us, that means as Christians, we fail to live up to the life and example of Jesus. Now, you and I know that that's an unfair criticism, that as often is the case, it is the few that spoil it for the rest of us. But if we're being honest with ourselves, most of us would have to admit that from time to time, our words and actions don't always match up. We do things, think things, say things that we know are not what we should be expected of us. And also we don't do things that might be expected of us. We let people down. We let ourselves down. We let God down. And more often than not, it is unintentional. No ill was meant. We just get things wrong. And I'm the first to admit that I often fail to live up to my badge. My report card on that score could say, could do better. A favourite quote of mine, which is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but it may not actually have been him, is preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. It matters not if these words belong to St. Francis. They're good words regardless. And I suppose a more modern equivalent might be that our actions speak louder than our words. No one said being a people of light was easy. And so it's always inevitable that from time to time we might fail to be a good witness to our faith. We are human after all. And as we move through our reading, we are reminded that if all people see are people of darkness claiming to be people of light, then we are making God out to be a liar. And if we do, it's sin. But we're not to be worried, because through seeing God's forgiveness and through Jesus, we are forgiven. And not only that, the sins of everyone are forgiven. Well, that's okay then. We can do what we like. Jesus has us covered. No, I'm not sure that's quite the message. But you might argue back, didn't I just say if we sin, seek God's forgiveness, then it's okay? And I did. But what I didn't say is it's okay to deliberately sin or deliberately let God down. We're all human and as such fallible. In our humanness, we do and will make mistakes. Some we may recognize and some we won't. Failure is a very human condition, which is why we need God's love. God, in his generosity, recognizes this and we receive the gift of his grace. The grace which could be no more generously demonstrated than by the death of Jesus on the cross. The challenge of today's reading is not so much to be sin-free, but to do our utmost to avoid sin. But not to be too down on ourselves when we do, because God is there to catch us and forgive us and put us back on the right path. The challenge is also for us to be a community of light, who are not afraid of the dark. Because we know we're not infallible, and we know that God's grace is big enough even for our biggest mistakes. And this applies to the community as well as to the individual. Because the letter writer was writing to a community. His message was for the whole community. The church as a body has immense power for good, but we also have the power to let people down collectively. Sadly, to some, organized religions, including the church, have deserved a bad reputation. We've been judgmental, hypocritical. We've hidden scandals, covered up crimes. The list goes on. And yet we know that this is not a true representation of who we are. We know the power for good that we are. But still the church is in what we are told is an even more secular world, fighting for its reputation and fighting to be seen in any way relevant to those outside our doors and walls. As I mentioned last week, the Church of Scotland at its General Assembly heard a rallying cry to be radical, to not be afraid of the future, but instead to boldly set a vision for that future. Being radical is not something to be afraid of. We have in Jesus the most radical of people. He was so countercultural that the powers that be at the time wanted him dead. His message was seen as so dangerous to the status quo that he had to be dealt with. But the power of his message still holds strong. And it seems to be a message that is as needed today as ever it was. The gospel message of loving God, loving our neighbours, and being a people of light is timeless. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. So let's not let the nastiness and foulness of a world that seems to be leading people away from light and into places of darkness sap our faith and our energy for living as a committed, loving community of light here in this place. Instead, let us take our light and let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine all the time, as that old Girl Guide song goes. We have enormous potential in us. We have potential for great good and great harm. We have potential for building up others and ourselves. And we have potential for knocking down that which others hold dear. Potential for forgiveness and reconciliation. Potential for holding on to grudges and slights. But also the potential for spreading light. I want to invite you this week to get a candle or a lamp and put it somewhere and to light your candle or light your lamp. And see in that light is a sign of your invitation from the Spirit of God to release the potential in you to bring light and love, truth and faith to those around you. And be encouraged to be a people of light as you go about your week. Let your love of God and Jesus shine from you. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. Let us pray. God, you gave your love to us in the form of the Word made flesh. We can never repay your generous gift, and neither do you ask us to do so. Instead, you ask us to love you and each other, give generously in word, deed, and action. So receive these gifts of money. May they become a gift for the work of the Church, both at home and abroad. Amen. We stand to sing hymn 130, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Twice. 180, sorry, did I just say something else? 180, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.
Thank you.
Let's come to God with our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, our world cries in pain. The sins of previous generations have brought terrible consequences to the world and all who live here. Lord, we cannot change what has gone, but we can choose to act now for those who will come after us. Darkness is found wherever love is hidden. Lord, help us to shine the light of your love around the world in our actions, our words, and our daily choices. In places and people in the world where darkness brings pain and anxiety, Lord, let your light shine. In places and people in the world where darkness takes away freedom and free will, Lord, let your light shine. In places and people in the world where darkness encourages injustice and violence, let your love shine. In places and people in the world where darkness offers false hope or fake help, Lord, let your light shine. In places and people in the world where darkness seeks to steal power to reign, Lord, let your light shine. Lord, may we be light bearers, shining the light of your love into all the dark corners of our world, today and every day. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 513. Courage, brother, do not stumble. 513. Of Christ to guide you and to lead you on the path that leads to life and to love. Go knowing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, walking with you each day and always.